fighting for America.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Iranians, when they sat down, said, look, we want you to know that we're going to work towards a treaty. If we get there, though, it's got to go to our equivalent of a parliament, and they've got to approve it. You mean to tell me that Iran, they've got a more representative government than America?
Fighting for you.
They're like, hey, this is a great location. I would love to be here, but there's a sentiment domain thing hanging over our head. It's a tough call.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, always caring about local, national, and international events. Joining us now for political commentary analysis, he's a great conservative, former congressman from New York, the author of Harvard Hates America, John LeBoutelier. Congressman LeBoutelier, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be on.
It's been a while since you've been here with us.
It has, but good things are worth waiting for.
I'm with you, sir. As someone who has run for office, the highest levels in our country, you've served your district, you've served your country. Give us a barometer of where we are based on your experience and your punditry. I mean, are we on the edge of collapse here, on the edge of the cliff, or is everything all right?
Well, I would say politically, we're at the lowest point of my lifetime. That this is the worst political situation, and I'm talking about the politics, the government, the elected officials, the Congress, the president, and all that. I think it's just a mess. Watergate was bad. I went through that. But that was one man and one administration that was had unfortunately turned in the wrong direction. But the Congress was still functioning properly. In this situation, Kevin, we're in a real pickle because the president – has been rebuked by the country in the past election, has ignored that, is running off, making executive orders, normalizing relations with Cuba, negotiating with Iran, all with no check or balance. And the Congress under my party, under the Republicans, is a complete disaster. They can't get out of their own way. They can't decide what to do. They are admitting it now. There's an article out today about a senator from Idaho, it's not Idaho, you're Idaho, a senator from Ohio, Dan Coats, Indiana, I mean, he's a friend of mine, openly speculating on the record that the Republicans have, quote, hit the wall, unquote, that they cannot even decide what to do about immigration or Obamacare or any of this stuff. And so to answer your question, now the country is okay. And I've always said this, the great thing about America is it survives despite the government. But it would be nice to have a government that functions properly, and we don't have one right now.
Well, let's stick with the Republicans because, you know, Representative Coats, he's been around a while. He's a fairly pretty conservative guy, and
yep.
Speaking from the heart, and here you have, we start with the DHS funding, the clean bill. The president wins, do the rest of us lose?
No, I think we need that thing funded. With ISIS making noises about hitting malls in America and all that, we can't be screwing around with that thing. Now, where we've got to get it straightened is the immigration thing was the hang-up that had the House Republicans so upset, correctly so, that the president was doing this by executive order instead of doing it through legislation. So the Republicans can do the legislation of some sort on what are we going to do to fix this immigration mess that we all agree is a mess. And we run the House and Senate now. Why don't we come up with our own plan on border security, citizenship, green cards, all this stuff, and let's get on with it. Instead of sitting around complaining all the time and attacking Obama, why don't we put out our plan? I don't understand it. We should be proud of being conservative Republicans and take it to the country and show them our way is the better way.
Well, what gets me is that, is John Boehner the guy or not? And whether people like him or not, he's gotten rid of the Hassert rule now. And, people disagree with him on certain votes. All of a sudden now there's going to be a coup. That's not functioning as a team or as a unit.
No, and I don't think there is going to be a coup because the problems that Boehner has are more than Boehner. there is indeed a split inside the GOP between the establishment Republicans and the Tea Party Republicans. They don't really agree on a lot. But what they need to do is figure out what they do agree on. They agreed on Keystone, for instance, and they passed that thing quickly in both the House and the Senate. Unfortunately, after Obama vetoed it, yesterday we fell short in the Senate of getting a override of the veto. So the next step on that, by the way, is let's see if we can come up with something to negotiate with Obama to get him to sign this thing. Is there something the House and Senate could do that he wants, infrastructure or something that he wants, and trade for it? That's the way government's supposed to work, and why not try? Because I think most people in the country believe Keystone should be built. So let's see some creative governing going on here instead of just railing against each other all the time, which really gets to be a drag after a while.
Well, it does, and again, it churns and churns into the media's self-fulfilling prophecy with their criticism of the Republican Party. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of House of Cards. Are you at all?
I haven't started season 3 yet, but I watched the first two and loved it.
Well, you know, whether it's House of Cards or Alpha House on Amazon or really anything else, even on the major networks, the Republicans are always the bad guys, and whether it's 2016, whether it's the next midterms, I'm just wondering, it's bad enough that you have the news media going after the Republicans. Now you've got the entertainment industry. It's always those evil, evil Republicans.
Well, that's nothing new, you know. I mean, come on. When you make up your mind to be a Republican in America, you better know that you're not going to get fair and balanced treatment out of the mainstream media or Hollywood. You never have gotten it. I mean, ask Nixon and Reagan, did they think they got fair coverage? And the answer, of course, is no. And then you go back years ago to JFK with the press. Everybody in the press knew JFK had a different girl every day. They never reported it, you know. And they were never going to expose them because they liked them. And they were favorable towards them. They were biased towards them. And they were nasty towards Nixon all the way. This is 50 years ago. So it's nothing new, and it's not going to change.
Well, it seems
it doesn't matter either, because we have won elections, even with the media against us, because there's an alternative media. You are the alternative media. Talk radio, the Internet, and Fox News are bigger and more powerful now than the mainstream media is.
I think the challenge, though, is that it's gotten so biased, it makes it look like the coverage of the current president makes the coverage of Bill Clinton seem objective and hard-hitting.
Yeah, well, the coverage of the current president is downright maliciously in the tank for him. Richard Nixon had an article of impeachment on his abuse of power regarding the IRS. This president, and by the way, Nixon didn't do anything. All he did is he mused on the tapes about getting the IRS to audit his enemies. They didn't actually, I don't believe they ever did any audits of it, but he wanted it done. Well, under this administration, they have absolutely gone after the Tea Party, and they've gone after pro-Israel groups who disagreed with the president's stance on Israel. They have used the IRS to punish the president's enemies. And there's hardly a peep out of anybody now. And by the way, where are the investigations of this thing? The Republicans now run the Senate and the House, overwhelmingly in the House. Is anybody investigating this IRS thing? I haven't heard about it lately.
Well, there is the email matter.
You mean the Lois Lerner emails? But what's happening with that? They revealed the other day that they did exist and they had them. But what has been done to secure them and do something with it, you know? Nothing.
What do you make of the current controversy?
I'm disappointed.
What do you make of the current controversy involving the former First Lady, former Secretary of State, former junior senator from New York, and her emails?
Well, I have to say I'm really amazed how big the media is making this thing out to be. And I'm happy about it because this is a case of another Clinton scandal. Only this time, the Republicans are not in any way involved in accusing her or going after her. She can't run with that. She can't say, it's a right-wing plot. She can't say that. This is being driven by the media, who is very upset that the Clintons always break the rules, always get away with it, and now they hide stuff from the media. And the media doesn't like that. So I think this thing, we got to watch it, where it may go. This is the second screw-up in 3 weeks for the Clintons, the other one being the foundation of the money from overseas. So what we don't know is this going to go somewhere? Is there more to come? Are there leaks of these emails that are going to be devastating to the Clintons? I rule out nothing here.
You must have gotten a good laugh when the New York Times broke the story, and then you had, at one time, conservative writer David Brock attacking the New York Times and their reporting, along with all the other usual suspects on the left.
Yeah, that's why I say this thing's delicious, because we on the right are not involved in it. And we should stay as far away from it. We shouldn't even talk about it. Let them fight it out. Let them stew in their own juice, you know, and see where this thing goes.
As someone, again, who has served his country, you've had the intelligence briefings. What do you make of the deal with Tehran and the naivete of our members of Congress and our administration?
Well, I think this deal's a disaster. I think Netanyahu gave an A-plus speech on Tuesday. That was great. I understand what John Kerry and Obama are up to. But the majority of the American people, I don't think, like this deal, or will not like it when they learn what it means. I frankly am amazed at Nancy Pelosi and some of these Democrats up on the Hill and the way they're reacting to Netanyahu's speech, because I don't understand where they get off thinking that that thing was biased or anti-American or anti-Obama. It wasn't. It was anti-nuclear deal with Iran. That's all it was. And anybody who listened objectively comes away and says, how could we even think of doing a deal with these people?
Again, the ignorance that permeates is just incredible. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us this morning, sir?
Well, not really. I think that first of all, I'd like all your listeners out there to watch my show on Fox News every Sunday night, 7:30 New York time, which I guess is 5:30 your time. Are you on Mountain Time?
Yes, sir.
It's 5:30 live every Sunday afternoon in wonderful Idaho on the Fox News channel for half an hour. It's called Political Insiders with Pat Goodell, Doug Schoen, and myself. And it is, the last few weeks, it's been the highest rated half hour on Fox News or any cable day or night on Sunday. The best political analysis anywhere on TV, Political Insiders, your 5:30 Sunday, Fox News Channel.
Now, who's the straight man, Schoen, Cadell, or you?
Well, the straight man is a woman, and it's Harris Faulkner.
Good luck. Yeah, she's pretty good. She's very good.
She's very good. No, she's really good. And we do a great job with her. She's really good, and people love the show.
Well, look, I'm on it now, and we'd love to have you back.
Anytime you want me, I'm right there.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 818, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now.
And I suppose it's only fair to say, don't you someday want to see a woman president of the United States of America?
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hi-de-ho, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, 824. Coming up, we'll speak with the mayor of Caldwell. Garrett Nancolas will join us. He wrote an op-ed a couple weeks ago in favor of fixing the roads, I believe in favor of the gas tax. Don't want to speak for him, so we will speak with him on that. Speaking of gasoline and everything, and I suppose... And how many of you have followed this big refinery strike that's going on the West Coast? I think Liberal Steve was yapping about it a couple weeks ago. I know Dave Burnett had mentioned it in one of our early morning banters back and forth, if you will. And it's funny because people say, well, the age of cheap gas is over. And boy, how quick was that? What was it down to? Was it what, 190, 195? Now, if you buy the ethanol propaganda gasoline, it's what, 225? If you buy the real gasoline, it's 245, 249, I think. Last week it was 225. And I think Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, called me the other night saying, you know, gas has gone up 10 cents in a day. Now, where is government on this? Well, it's the free market. No, it isn't. Gasoline is not the free market because you have to buy it unless you have a solar car or you're like one of our friends, Phil Valentine, who actually, created a car. I think it was an old Mercedes that you could drive on the grease from the fast fuel from the food places. Thank you, Kevin. But, you know, we talk about things that impact our life. And if gasoline continues to go up, you're not going to get that gas tax passed. Yes, we have a lot of bridges in the Gem State. Yes, they need to be fixed. But before, in fact, we start going into your pocketbook, my pocketbook, why don't we take a look at how the money's being spent? And maybe we're just so deluged. You know, whether you're an adult or a kid, you're playing the video games. I mean, we have sensory overload. Rachel Sutherland and I from Fox News Radio, we're talking about this earlier. We're having a conversation. We're trying to talk about this news story about Keystone, and we're tweeting each other back and forth as we're talking to you. You know, how much more sensory overload can we take? By the way, the teachers, we'll see if whether or not they get a pay raise. We'll be monitoring that situation, along with the eminent domain case in Eagle. But back to this issue of high gasoline prices. What are we willing to do? Are we willing to pay, you know, $2.25? Is that comfortable? Now, we have a surplus of gasoline in this company. This is where I disagree with a lot of our conservative talk show hosts, conservative businessmen. I think you put America first before you start sending that cheap gas to China. And we opine about the loss of Keystone. Hey, let's flood the American market. Folks in the Middle East, they take care of their own. Why don't we take care of our own when it comes to gasoline? Look, if you're like Pat from Middleton, hey, Pat, your vacation's over, ha-ha, and you're landscaping, or if you're on the road selling, hey, or if you have a long commute because you have a home that you like, that you've got a lot of land on, you get more for your money in the suburbs as opposed to closer to the city. High gas prices are no fun. It takes a bite out of your wallet. You don't need me to tell you that. So where in the world do we, you know, get this accountability? Or are we just going to sit there and take it? I would like an explanation because it's too, you know, here we are in the age of internet, in the age of artificial intelligence, self-driving cars, gosh knows what else, a pill to make you happy, a pill to make you sad, and we can't determine why gasoline prices go up 10 cents in a day, 20 cents in a day. And if I were running for office, that would be my platform. Look, we're going to have some accountability. And if I'm not transparent, if I'm not accountable, if I'm not what I say I am, it's time to go, right? And maybe it's been just such a good run for us. Oh, I don't mind paying a little extra. I admire people that are cheap, you know, because they see through the price inflation of everything. It used to embarrass me when I would be with people and they'd say, well, you know, that's okay. But can you give me a better deal on it? Yesterday, and I know this will shock a lot of you, in my previous life, and it was, you know, last century. Now, I prided myself on being in the fitness business, the gyms and such. And so when I go to a gym, I will sit there and look over things, and I was going over it, and a nice young man reminded me of myself 30 years ago, dare I say 30 years ago. And he gives me the price point, and I'm going, whew. You know, got to do better than that, buddy. But it's an emotional buy. And when it comes to gasoline, you know, you can pick your gyms. You can't pick not to fill your tank up with gas. Joining us now is I don't want to say jolly person, but he's a happy guy. In the old days, we call him gay in the traditional sense of the word. But he's quite the heterosexual. He's Pat from Middleton.
Now, how would you know that? Geez, what an intro. How am I supposed to talk when you introduce me like that? At least I'm not Roddy looking for Sharia law girl or something like that.
So, Sherry Law, yes, only Ronnie.
Sharia law. I mean, yeah, I think he just wants to dominate a woman that can't fight back. You know.
Yes, apparently.
I understand why Ronnie's women keep leaving him. He's strange, but anyway, I don't want to get on that. You know the price of gas got as low as it did, and where it got last year. I figured out that if it stayed as low as it was throughout my entire season, I would save almost 2,000, maybe 2,200 bucks in the season. That's the difference for me. That's how much gas I go through in my business, just myself. I'm still a one-man crew. I can't afford to expand or do anything else. I mean, that $2,000 would have made a big difference, because you're right, I have to get back out to work. I mean, the season's here. I'm starting to work, but it's really frustrating, the price of gas. Now, I do know that, I don't know if the strike's still going on, but conveniently a strike takes place, and then in Texas, then there's a plant that makes the fuel in California that had a fire or something like that. But, you know, then they want to raise taxes. I mean, good heavens. That's why our economy goes up and down, because every time we get any kind of good news, they want to screw with it. And I wish they just leave us poor guys alone. They're trying to make it.
Here's something else that I really wish they could do. I wish that we could buy gasoline like the airlines do.
On contract, yeah. I have a 200-gallon fuel tank on my property, and that's all I can hold. But that doesn't last me but more than a couple weeks. And so then when I buy, if I had enough to buy the whole season's worth, I could have locked in and said, okay, now my business could not flourish, but, you know, $2,000 more in my pocket means I can buy a couple new pieces of equipment that are, like, on their last legs. And, you know, it would just make my life a little easier. You know, maybe I go out to a movie or something. I haven't done anything like that in so long, it's unbelievable. And they just keep dangling that carrot out there. I think you mentioned carrot and stick earlier, and that's what they keep doing. They keep wanting to muck around with things, and they just leave us alone long enough, we'll recover.
You doing all right?
It's good to get back. Yeah, I'm having to take a second job just to make ends meet, but that's okay. It's just part time at the Idaho Center, and the Lenten fish fries have been doing great at church. I've been having fun doing that, meeting a lot of new people from our church, and yeah, things are good. Going to ICYC this weekend as a chaperone for our youth group at church, and yeah, things are good. I can't complain. God has blessed me. I look at my life and all that's happened, all the things I've been through, and I'm still a happy, jolly, big bell pepper guy. You know.
Well, it's great to have you in the Bell Pepper Club.
You know, I love talking to you. I love listening to you. You've had so many guests on and stuff. I feel like calling, but it's like, you know, I never get a chance to converse with you much. So, you know, I'm just not as much on topic as much these days, because there's not a whole lot I can change about it. I keep having these ramblings, you know, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. It's like, as long as Obama's in office, we're not going to get anything done. So,
well, I hope the season's productive and don't be a stranger.
No, I won't. I won't. When are you going to come out to our one of our Friday night fish fries?
Soon, before Lent's over, yes.
There's only three left, and I won't be there tonight. So tomorrow night. So got to make it one of the last two.
I will. Take care, Pat.
I love you, brother.
I love you, our friend Pat from Middleton. Great guy. If you need a sprinkler system done or anything else, he's the guy to go to. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
News back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And a Tea Party Bob and David in Nampa, please stand by. We're joined by the mayor of Caldwell, Mayor Garrett Nankolas. Mayor Nankolas, thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us. Is it possible to get you off the speakerphone at all?
Oh, I'm sorry. How about that?
Oh, that's much better, sir. Now, I feel that you're with me all the time. I'm watching you on TV doing all these commercials. What's that about?
Well, it's a very important message. The Mentoring Network has done some wonderful things in this community with our students, and it's one of those things that I have a lot of passion for. And so when they came to me and asked me to help promote their program, it was an easy yes.
Well, for people that may not have seen the commercial and have lives and are taking advantage of this great weather, is there anything that we can do to spread your message about that?
Well, certainly. This is just an opportunity through the Mentoring Network to hook up with a young student who needs a positive influence in their life. It's a wonderful program. And to be honest with you, it's been around for several years, and the impact has been immeasurable. So here's the opportunity for, again, as the commercial says, to be someone who matters to someone who does matter. And it's very important that we get out and connect with these young students and give them the opportunity to know that they're appreciated, they're important, and help them be successful.
Boy, it's such positivity, positive reinforcement is so great for us in adults. It's immeasurable what that can do for children.
Oh, you're absolutely correct, Kevin. I couldn't agree with you more. And like I say, here's an opportunity to just take a little bit of your time, as little as an hour a week, and make huge impact on these young people's lives.
Mayor Nankolas, speaking of impact, you're quite gutsy with your editorial about the gas prices, the gas taxes. I'm going, hey, this is great for talk radio. I don't know if it's good for you.
I really think it is good. I think the public understands the need for transportation funding. The roads, the transportation system is absolutely essential to moving goods and services. It's essential to economic development. It's essential to safety services and the looks of our communities, the ability to get around. And so transportation funding is one of those things that we've invested all this money over the last century in highways, roads, streets, bridges, and it's just time to they need upgraded. They need fixed. They need taken care of. And then also, as we grow, we're certainly going to need some money for expansion of services, both public transportation as well as roads and streets. So, you know, this is one of those user things. I think that people understand they use the roads, they use the highways, they use the streets, and they need to be maintained.
Well, right now it's a little easier to do that because the gas prices are down, but they might be going up. Any question about the proper management of these funds that all of a sudden, you know, the governor called it an unfunded mandate or whatever, that we haven't been putting enough money into the system to make sure these roads and bridges are repaired?
Well, as you said, Kevin, it's about a $250 million a year deficit that we're seeing right now, and that's based upon today's prices and, you know, labor costs and those kinds of things. So if we just continue to kick the can down the road, the deficit continues to grow and grow and grow. And I really think it's important for us to take care of the issue now rather than passing it on to our kids or whomever may have to pay for it at much higher prices in the future. And the problem doesn't go away. If you drive down the interstate between here, Caldwell and Nampa, you can see the condition of the interstate there and the number of bridges that are deficit. I mean, this is a problem. And so I think that my message was simply that this is a problem. It's an important piece of infrastructure. And so hopefully the people that drive on those roads, all of us, we all use them, understand that we need to pay to maintain them.
Mayor Nankolas, do you think that, let's see if we can get you into a little trouble here. As far as the roads from Caldwell to Nampa, not in the same quiet condition as you'd say from Nampa to Meridian or Meridian to Boise, do you think, your area is, you know, as you talk about the need, but also that it's there's an oversight there?
Well, I think I was fairly vocal in some newspaper articles earlier this year that said, we're part of the valley too.
Right.
We need some attention on this end of the valley. And if, again, we are the first major area coming from the west into the Treasure Valley, and the image that that portrays to people who are visiting the valley or visiting the state, I don't think is the message that we want to be sending.
Well, nobody wants to be a part of Oregon. That's my words, not yours.
Well, you said that. I didn't, Kevin. But, no, I love Idaho, and I'm glad I'm an Idaho resident. How's that?
Mayor Nankolas, let's talk a little bit about Caldwell. You've got the College of Idaho doing well, but a lot of good things going on. Our good friend Reverend Bill always talking about where he lives, and a lot of great things going on there.
You know, Caldwell is just a wonderful place to live, and as you've heard me call it in the past, I think it's the treasure of the valley. There are so many wonderful things here. Caldwell has the college, football going with that. Like you say, the college has certainly made a huge difference in Kabul's image over the past few years. But, you know, there's other wonderful things going on. We have a great Mayor's Youth Advisory Council program. We've got downtown development happening right now. We just received the report from the downtown committee. We're looking at a plaza being built in downtown. We're getting you know, great response to our industrial park out to the east at exit 29. You know, there's just a lot of good things going on in Caldwell right now, and it's a good time to be from Caldwell.
Well, Mayor Nankolas, we appreciate it. We have to get back to see you, and you know, I'm always looking to do a lot less work, so we need to, you know, come see you in Caldwell, profile your great community, and have you co-host for an hour or two, because I need a break.
Well, I would be honored to do that, Kevin, and thank you very much for asking the questions this morning and allowing me to respond.
Well, you have a home here, and we're coming to see you.
That's wonderful. You're welcome anytime.
Take care, sir.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
There we have it. You know, his reputation really exceeds his reputation there. Mayor Nankolas talking about Caldwell and defending the need to raise the gas tax. We go to David in Nampa at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, David.
Hello. I want to say something about gas prices.
Sure. You're on the air at 580KIDO. Go ahead, please.
Well, I don't know why we gripe about gas prices, because we don't grow any here. We need to do something that we can sell to somebody. Plant potatoes, whole beets, do service work. But we don't have any oil here. We don't have any leverage in that. We need to do what we can do here in Idaho.
Well, we do grow potatoes. So what are you talking about growing? Well, we're doing some fracking, much to the chagrin of some people.
I know. And who wants oil wells on every acre?
Those of you that have acres, you're right.
Okay. I don't even want my neighbor's acre to look at. I already don't really care for those windmills in eastern Oregon. But anyway.
Well, David, thank you for the call. We appreciate your insight. Tea Party Bob, Gem State Patriot, television star, video star. Now he's in the radio business. What's your iTunes show called?
Well, we've actually been trying to find a name for it. We've been doing some podcasts on it.
You've been asking me to come up with it.
I haven't. And any of your people out there, you know, anybody who listens to Kevin Miller in the morning,
see,
Lord, we'd love to have them.
Wait a minute. He's already replacing me because I've disappointed him on not finding a name for his iTunes show.
Well, actually, we want you to come on a show, Kevin. You have an open invitation.
Well, thank you. I Tea Party Bob and the Bell Pepper, maybe that could be it.
There's nothing I would like better than spend an hour or two with you on a Saturday morning. You know that.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I was sitting here listening to you talk about the gas prices, and, you know, it's interesting. We've seen gas prices going from their recent lows, and all of a sudden the oil companies are blaming it on an explosion at this refinery and a work stoppage at another refinery. You know, and I tend to agree with you that the oil industry has a lock on the pricing of petroleum products, and regardless of what happens, they always seem to boost those prices to a higher and higher level, and the little guy is the one who suffers the most. You know, we have not had an investigation into the oil industry, I can't tell you in how many years, to see if there is any manipulation because there's such a powerful lobby. I think that maybe at some point we're going to have to go through that. You just had Mayor Nankolas on, and I really love politicians because they always say we need better roads and we need better bridges, but they're not willing to come up with a strategy to find the money without hurting the lower and middle class income citizens, which is through that regressive gas tax. It hurts everybody down there, you know, at the lower end. You know, and as far as the gas tax is concerned for Idaho, our legislators are going to try to get through something like 6 or 7 cents increase and probably some higher registration fees. But as I said before, this is not the way to raise money for the roads. The money should come from the general fund, where it has to prove that there's a real need, and it has to fight against the money that's for schools and for health care. That's when you truly find out whether they need them or not. You know, the per-gallon tax is going the way of the dodo bird. When you have cars that are getting 40 and 50 miles per gallon, and so many hybrids coming out, and electric cars, although we don't have quite as many of those yet, you know, the problem is legislators have been very slow to decide how they can change to another type of a tax. They don't want to do it. They don't want to bite the bullet. And this is the primary problem we have with the stability of our roads. You know, yep. We need more transparency. We need more accountability. In 2009, there were enormous cuts in the budget, and the Department of Transportation had to do it a lot less, and they did, and they survived because they found ways to rebuild with a lot less costly methods. We need to squeeze more out of everything we get.
Got
to
get the squeeze for the juice. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, more coming up next. Tom, hang on. Time for traffic now.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
To Tom with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Hello, Tom. You've got about 40 seconds.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make the point on the gas tax. There's a lot of things in the gas tax budget that don't have anything to do with roads or road maintenance. Let's first take all that out and see what we need for the road maintenance. And then all that other stuff might be important, but let's clean up the fund and then see if we need to raise the gas tax.
Great point, Tom. Clear, concise, and accurate. Time for traffic now. And Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up, the battle for the Second Amendment. We'll be talking about that tomorrow. As always, we're honored to be with you, your community voice. Kevin Miller, good day. God bless. Keep the faith.